It's on, isn't it? I couldn't see it. There we go. I did go to the eye doctor the other day, and they told me I had 20/25 vision. She said, "You're just like the rest of the world." I said, "Well, the rest of the world can't see. That's all I can say." But you do need glasses to see, to read with. Good job, guys. You know, when they were in here practicing this morning, I said, "John Michael, let's, you know," and he already knew what I was going to say, "start on time." And he said, "Yes, sir, we got that taken care of." And I don't know if that's something, I do know, how many of y'all in the military? You're in the military? Is starting on time was kind of a big deal for them, wasn't it? I was late one time to a formation in basic training, and once only. Because when I got there, the guy, drill sergeant, walked up there and said, "Hillis, you're late." I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, the rest of y'all are going to go do this thing over here, and Mr. Hillis is going to sit here and do push-ups for us until I get tired." And Mr. Hillis did push-ups for him until I couldn't do any more. Then I rolled over on my back while he sat there and watched me. He said, "You rested?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Then do some more." And we did that for about an hour of doing push-ups till I couldn't do them anymore, then roll around, lay on your back for a minute until you get your breath, and do push-ups again until you can't do them anymore. And that broke me from being late right there. So, John Michael, thanks. Thanks. Well, there the pastors are in Guatemala, and I know my wife went. Who else went? Anybody? I guess they're not here. They can't say they're gone. Is there any other husband here that does not have a wife because their wife is gone? There's not. They're all playing hooky. Well, I told Tracy, said, "Well, you know, just, you know, have them pray for us and everything." I said, "I certainly will. We will pray for y'all." Joseph already did that. I said, "But who really needs prayer is me. I am accepting care packages for the whole week." So, there you go, Ernie. I'm going to come by. Well, get your Bibles out. Go to James. And we're going to start this. Now, this is probably one of those sermons, I have preached this before, but it's relevant at any time. One of those where you kind of need to keep your toes back in your boots a little bit, you know, keep them sucked up there because they tend to get stepped on during this message, but it is true. So, James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Listen to verse 13. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.'" Did that say God tempts people or not? It said, "Let no one say when he is tempted," when someone is tempted, "that it was God doing it. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So right during temptation, how many of y'all ever gone through temptation in your life? Okay, so that's everybody. So the your first doctrine you've got to get straight during temptation is you got to know God's not doing it. If you're blaming God for temptation, you're going to have a hard time getting through it because he's not the source of it. God is not the source of your temptation. Okay, so we got that settled. Then it says, look at verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." So whose fault is the temptation? It's ours, right? The temptation comes because of stuff that's on the inside of us. Now, yeah, that one says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away." That word "drawn" right there is an interesting little word. I don't know what it means in the dictionary. I don't know what it means in the concordance. I'm going to tell you what it means to me. If you are drawn away, is that different from being dragged away? Dragged away is someone puts a rope around your neck and drags you somewhere. That would be dragged away, right? Someone grabs you by the hand and drags you. That's dragged away. What does drawn away mean? Drawn away means you willingly went with them. Drawn away means if you take a horse, big old, you know, 1,200-pound horse, if that horse does not want to go, you're not moving it. Is that right? You can put bridles in their mouths. You can throw a rope on them. But truly, If that horse doesn't want to go, that horse is standing right there. But you can take that horse that does not want to go anywhere and dangle a carrot in front of it, and you can lead that horse anywhere you want to. Because why? Because the horse wants the carrot, right? You have provided something that that horse wants. And that horse, feeding cattle. I got two cows at the house that'll absolutely run over you for a sack of cake. But I couldn't go drag them anywhere. You go try to put them in that pen if they don't want to go. But you can sit there with a little bit of cake and make them want to go, and they'll follow you right into the pen. Everybody know where I'm at? A couple more examples. We're going to find out what kind of church this is right here. We're going to find out how country y'all are. How many of y'all have ever been varmint hunting? Raise your hand. How many of y'all know what a varmint is? All right. How many of y'all have ever run a trap line? Let me see your hand. All right, we got some trap liners right there. Did you know all you're really doing with a trap line is using what's on the inside of that coon or that ringtail or that fox against them? That's all you're doing. Most of the time it's hunger. Most of the time you take great care in digging you a little hole, or this is how I used to do it. I don't know how you did it, but dig you a little hole for your number two trap. You set the number two trap, you lay it in there, you got the jaws all set right, you can make sure no sticks can get where the jaws can close, put a little bit of paper over the trigger, you know, cover the whole thing up with dirt so it looks good, and spread a little sardines around there. One little story, where's my son? Oh, he's counting money. I took him trapping one time. We were running a trap line, and we were resetting all of our traps, and I had sardines. He was probably 5 years old. So we're doing all these, so I got to the next trap, and I said, Chad, let me have them sardines. He went, I ate them. You got to be kidding me. Who's going to eat a sardine? But he did. You can ask him when he gets here, he ate my sardines. So we were out of luck. Anyway, you take that thing, you set your trap, everything, you make everything perfect, you try to get rid of all scent, all that stuff, in order to lure that varmint to your trap. Is that true? You can do that with about any kind of animal that you're trapping. But the coon is an interesting animal, because that little critter, I had heard one time that you can take just a regular old number two trap, put tinfoil on the trigger, and put it in the river. It does. You'll have a wet coon skin, but it would. But all it is tinfoil. On a trap, you don't try to hide the trap, you don't do anything, and you throw that trap in the river, and on a good moonlit night, that coon's bebopping down there catching whatever he's catching. He looks over and goes, ooh, shiny thing. And he goes over there and sticks his foot in that shiny thing. It's something on the inside of a coon that you can just use against him. There's no reason to stick his foot in it. There's nothing there for him to eat. It's just, a curious coon. Everybody knows how curious a coon is. Anybody have a coon as a pet? My sister had a coon as a pet one time. That sucker would get up in the cabinet and open up the honey jars. If he couldn't get them opened up, he'd throw them off the thing and break them, then go eat it. But anyway, you can use what's on the a trapper can use what's on the inside of a coon to catch that coon. Same thing, I've never done this, but with antelope. They say when antelope, antelope's supposed to have this great sight, and it's really hard to get close to them, and they're known for having to take long shots at these animals. But they say you can take a hunting blind and set it up and take a red flag and wave it above the hunting blind. And that antelope is so curious, he'll walk up within bow range. And you can shoot him with a bow. See, that's using something that's on the inside of an animal against them. Well, I'm telling you, that is what the devil does to you. He uses things that are on the inside of you against you. Because, see, not all of us are drawn to the same thing. Some of us, we deal with different things. So the devil, or society, or your friends, or whatever, just roll things out there and it's kind of like throwing it on the wall and seeing what sticks. Let me give you a definition of sin. If I can read it. When inner desires respond to outward enticement. That's sin. When an inner desire responds to an outward stimulus. So, we've got this stuff on the inside of us, and basically what it is undealt with issues in our life. Those are the things that are going to trip you up. The things that you know are going on the inside of you, anger, you know, you're mad at this one or whatever. I mean, you pick your sin, whatever it is. But those things that are on the inside of you that we choose not to or we do not deal with, that is what gets you in trouble, because it's the enticement on the inside of you that leads to that stimulus. That stimulus comes by and the inner desire responds to it. When the inner desire responds to it, you can go on down and look what it says in verse 14. Says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That's the path that we're on. That's why as Christians, we want you to say, well, you just goody-goody Christians. You're just trying to get all cleaned up. That's why we're trying to get cleaned up, because so there's nothing on the inside of us to be drawn away. Why do you think Jesus could do what he did? Why do you think he could be spit in the face? I mean, that'd been it for me, wouldn't you? Spit in your face, what's going to happen? At this point in your life, someone spits in your face, what's fixing to happen? It's fixing something's on. Either I'm going to get whipped or he's going to get whipped, but somebody's going to get whipped when you get spit in the face. And that's not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's where we are. That's what I would need to work on. I try to take everything when I get irritated or when something is not going right, I try to look at it. It doesn't always work, but I try to look at it and say, okay, whatever that stimulus was out there, it touched something on the inside of me. And when that something on the inside of me gets touched, then I know what I need to work on. You pull out in front of me in traffic, I need to work on something. Every time. Especially if you pull out, if I'm running down the road 70 miles an hour and you pull out in front of me and you want to run 40 in a no-passing zone, I need to work on that. But you know how I've worked on it? This is how I've worked on it. Because each morning I get up during some point in the day and say, I thank you, God, that my steps are ordered, that you have ordered my steps today. And I thank you, Lord, you give me the wisdom to walk in those ordered steps. So now I just got to believe that if God's ordering my steps, that Yahoo who pulled out in front of me may be slowing me down so I don't get in trouble up the road somewhere. That's how I have to look at it. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, it may be, but it's helping me. It gets me through whatever that is on the inside of me. I have to go, yeah, you know, look, I asked God to help me. I asked God to order my steps today. Maybe truly, God, you do what we ask in those situations if it conforms to the Word of God, and that you are actually helping me today. And in the meantime, getting rid of some of that stuff on the inside of you. That's supposed to be how it works. Go to Galatians. You can turn to Galatians, but I want to read this one more time. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away from what? If you're being drawn away, then that means you're being drawn to something. Now go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of y'all have heard that? How many of y'all could do that? How many of you even know what he's talking about? I mean, truly. I mean, that's, we read all this stuff, walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. But unless you really tear that down and start to look at it, that's a religious phrase that people say that we don't have a clue really what he's talking about. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Okay? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You ever been there? You know it's right to do that over there, but you don't do it. You ever been there? Lots of times. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm going to come back to that here in just a second. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So now jump down to verse 22. So if you're being, if this desire on the inside of you, if you're being pulled to something, then you're being pulled away from something. Is that right? So this is what you're being pulled away from. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's what you're being drawn away from. When that inward desire responds to the outward stimulus, it's trying to take you away from those things. And here's the reason why it's trying to take you away from it. Another little analogy here. We got the judge sitting over here. Good to see you back anyway, Judge. Yeah. Let's say y'all get ready to leave church here in a little bit, and you get in your car, and you pull out, and you got two ways to exit over there. And you pull out, you don't look left or right, you just go. And the policeman comes up to you and says, I'm going to give you a ticket. You say, for what? He said, you didn't stop. He said, there's no stop sign. Could he give you a ticket? If there is no stop sign, if there is nothing to demand that you stop. No, because there is no law. What did it say right there? What does it say? All these things, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It's the same way. If you go out, now should you have stopped? Yeah. Is it smarter to stop? Yeah. Is it helpful for everybody all the way around, the people going down this road and the people exiting, for you to stop and look both ways and then go? Yes, it is. But he cannot give you a ticket because there is no stop sign there. And that's what the writer is saying right here. He says, walking in these things, there is no law against you. You can't, there's no judgment. You cannot be held accountable. You are walking in the things of the Spirit. And what the devil wants to do is get you out of that and get you over into the other things where there is judgment. Not necessarily by God, but by the world, the devil, and everything around you, especially you. Now let me read the other things. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. He just got tired of writing them. He just said, etc. All that stuff. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is what he is trying to get you, trying to take what's on the inside of you and get you out of those things where there is no law against you and take you over to where there is law against you, where you can be held accountable. That's why it says walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, that when someone irritates the snot out of you, that you go, you know what? There's something on the inside of me. There's been an outward enticement that has come to an inner desire, and I need to deal with it. Do it daily. There's always something that comes up. Always. Against such, there is no law. So again, if the policeman comes out there and tries to give you a ticket, what would you say? You can't. I'll go to court. We'll go see Judge Schaefer over this deal. If you're going to give me a ticket for going right here. Now, you come out where I used to live up, what's this road right over here? 357. And you go up there where they just put that new stop sign in here, I don't know how long ago. And all of us that used to run that road and there was not a stop sign for 20 years and now all of a sudden there's a stop sign showed up and you just whiz past it and the cop goes to give you a ticket, you don't have much to stand on. There you go. You're just going to get a ticket and you don't have a whole lot to stand on. But the inward desires, that is what you need to work on. Now, husbands and wives, we'll do this first with y'all and then we'll do it with everybody. If your husband or your wife's here, wives, look at your husband and say, "You can't make me mad." Did y'all do that? No. All right, see if the husbands are any better. Husbands, look at your wives and say, "You can't make me mad." You know why? Because they can only bring out the mad that's in you. They can't make you mad. All they can do, that's a stimulus to an inward desire. All they can do is bring out the mad that's already on the inside of you. I find out, man, I got lots of mad in me sometimes. I was reading over there when it's talking about, you know, all the things of the Spirit and stuff, and I was going, not bad. Yeah, not bad. Talk about myself. Not too good on that one. It said, not easily provoked. I went, really? It really says that. Not easily provoked. Just about the time when my boys were playing basketball, and the refs were absolutely did not know what they were talking about most of the time, according to me. You know what I finally had to do? When I found out how easily provoked I was, I wasn't even trying to deal with it, okay? I'm just trying to mask it. Dealing with it I would go to the top far bleacher on the very top row as far away from everybody as I can get and put a sucker in my mouth and suck on that sucker and try not to say a word. But, you know, that was how many years ago? How long have you been out of school? 10 years? That's 10 years ago. I'm a lot better at it now than I was then. Not saying we're perfect, just saying we're working on it. Well, I mean, there may be some other things that hadn't been worked on yet. Some other issues that may be easily provoked. But I want to read these one more time. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. I had to go look these up. I couldn't even tell you what they were in real life on most of them. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I want to ask you something. By a show of hands, how many people are guilty of at least one of those things? Okay. Because when it goes down there and says, because your Bible may say, what does this one say? That one says practice. Mine says practice. Some of them say, don't say practice. They say those who do those things. But the more accurate interpretation is those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if all of us are guilty of at least one of them, if that was true that no one was going to enter the kingdom of God, why are we sitting here? But it says practice those things. It's not something that you practice. It may be something you fell into, got caught up into, didn't deal with on the inside of you. You got caught up into something, but now you've gone, hey, that is not where I want to be. I want to be over here. Jesus, forgive me, and let's go on with life. That's the kind of person that it says there is no law against that. Because now you've gone from walking in the flesh to walking in the Spirit. I'm telling you, that is what the devil is trying to do. He is trying to get you out of the grace of God completely taken away from him and getting over here where you are by yourself. And folks, if you're by yourself without Jesus, you're in trouble. How many of y'all have ever been called a hypocrite? You ever been called a hypocrite? You know why? I have. In the military, I was called a hypocrite. Hey, you call yourself Christian, but when I was in Korea, they said, you don't go to church every Sunday. You're a hypocrite. I said, no, that's not true. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I do everything right. I'm saying Jesus covers my sins. That is why we're Christians. That is the hope we have. Now, how do you do this? How do you deal with those inner desires that are raging on the inside of you and you find yourself drawn to an outward stimulus? How at that point do you go, okay, I find myself an inner desire and an outward stimulus right here. Now what do I do? What's the step? How do you as a Christian defeat that? Pastor Robert's been talking about it. The way you defeat it is you take your sword, the Word of God, and that is what you speak over yourself at that time according to that situation, whatever it is. And I want to show you this last thing. You can close your Bible. And I want to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you how it works. I've done this before too, but I probably 10 people in here haven't ever heard this. So you have to replace what you're thinking. And here's an example. I want everybody to close your eyes and just listen to what I'm saying. From left to right in the screen that's in your head, right now it's blank. Everybody get a blank screen. For the men, that's going to be pretty easy. Women, y'all may have trouble with that. We can go blank screen real quick. No problem. Okay, from left to right, there's a banana that walks in from the left side of your screen and stops right in the middle of your screen right there. Now, I want you to get rid of the banana. But the banana has walked in from the left side, and he's perched right in the middle of your screen, and he's doing a little dance there and doing jack push-ups and jumping jacks. And okay, everybody stop now. Now look up here. Is it hard to get rid of the banana while I'm talking about the banana? Okay, let's do it again. Same thing. I'm talking about replacing your thoughts. If you always think about the problem, which the banana represents, it's hard to get rid of the banana out of your screen. Okay? But now, banana comes in from the left to the right, same one, sitting there doing jumping jacks, and a watermelon comes in from the other side of the screen, walks up to it and boots the banana off your screen. What's left? A watermelon. You take and replace your problems with the Word of God, and that is what you're doing. So the way to remember this is when you're going through that, just think fruit salad. See? Just think of a fruit salad. No, that really, it sounds simple, but that is the simplicity of what Jesus did for you. All you got to do is replace it. All you got to do is find out what the Word of God says and put more of that in you than what's coming against you. And if you keep doing that, that's what will be front and center screen on the inside of you. When that's front and center screen, now you've got something to work with, because the Bible says that the Word of God is a seed. And it will accomplish exactly what it was set forth to do. And where is that seed supposed to be planted? In your heart. That is how you plant that seed in your heart, by meditating on it, by keeping it front center. And if you keep that seed front and center in your life, you will eventually get a crop of whatever it is the Word says at that time. Them oak trees out there, they started from a seed about that big around. And they weren't real impressive when they started, but look at them now. And it may not be real impressive when it starts, when you start kicking the banana out and keeping a watermelon front and center, but you keep it there, you keep the Word of God there, and it will grow. And it will accomplish exactly what it was set forth to do. It just, we're a microwave society and we want it to happen tomorrow. But in 10 years, you're either going to be still trying to kick that banana off or you're going to be off to different things. So you might as well be off to different things and let's work on something else and let's work on an orange or a grapefruit or something. Get the banana out of there. Amen? Amen. Well, stand up. Got the prayer team down here, please. Y'all don't forget to pray for... I did get a call this morning from my wife. So, they made it. Everything's good. They're staying in Antigua. They're traveling from Antigua to the orphanage, which I don't remember how long. What does it take? 30, 40 minutes, an hour, depending on the traffic? You know, pray for them for that. You know, they'll be on roads where the biggest one is gets the right of way. So, pray for them. So, anybody who has prayer needs, come up here. These are here. Bob, if you want to get your guys and come with, you know, get with some of them over there, then that'll be good. Well, I'm going to dismiss. And Father, I just thank you today that your word is true. Lord, that your word is life. Lord, I thank you that as we are... As it's revealed to us what we need to work on, Lord, that we recognize that, Lord. We don't get mad. We don't try to fight your word. But, Lord, we come into agreement with your word over our lives, Lord, and we deal with those things that are on the inside of us. I ask you to bless each and every one of these people here today, Lord, and be with those ones that are in Guatemala. In Jesus' name, amen.